Do the next right thing to make your marriage sing.
All I ever wanted was to be in love with you. When your eyes met mine, I knew that this was really true.
Hello and welcome to The Music of Marriage
with Bob
and Evie. And you, whoever you are in Radioville, Radio Land, whatever it is. We're in Franklin, Tennessee with our producer, Daryl Williams, at WAKM. The longest, you guys have been here for a long time.
Since 1953.
Yeah.
Wow.
In Middle Tennessee, so.
It's quite a legacy.
Longer than us. Longer than me.
Yes. Yeah.
A lot of history there. So, new programs and programmers come and go, and here we are with The Music of Marriage, and we hope that we can inspire you for a little bit about this wonderful topic that is a topic of much maybe confusion these days, and for all different reasons. And so we are going to do kind of an encore today of our series that we made called God's Love Language. And on our website, themusicofmarriage.com, you can hear some of those podcasts. You can also order our book, How to Make Your Marriage Sing. And they are biblical principles to keep the music playing, because that is what we found. Oh, and we're musicians, too, and we have some songs on there that you can download. So as we move down this track through this score of music that we're writing here, as we write the music of our marriage, we do have other songs that we're working at recording, right, Bob? And
yeah. Yep.
Try to expand things a little bit here.
Exactly. So last time we wrapped up God's Love Language series, but which was a word study from 1 Corinthians 13, which is the world-renowned passage on love that many weddings play or quote it. But the interesting thing is, after that passage, you know, love is this and love is that, and love is not this and not that, and we went over all those, what it is and what it isn't, comes a very interesting verse that's in 1 Corinthians 13 that often isn't quoted. And that verse is, okay, what is the verse here? Okay, faith, hope, and love.
What do they say? Silence is golden.
It is.
Was a golden note in the, you know, sometimes in music you need just that blank space.
Well, I'd rather you cue that up, silence is golden.
Silence is golden. I think we should play that first. See, I'm trying to quote it by memory. These three things remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And that's very fascinating. So if you really, if you envision love, faith, hope, and love as a triangle, where love is at the top and love is supported by faith and hope, it's kind of interesting because, you know, you can go all around that triangle and realize that while making it a triangle, which is a, you know, supportive structure, you realize that love is not supported without faith and hope at the base.
That's the real love triangle.
Yeah.
Faith and hope at the bottom corners, and they support love.
Yeah.
So therefore, love is the, you know, that's why God says the greatest of these is love. Without faith and hope, it's kind of hard to sustain and support love.
And there's a very interesting counterpoint verse in Galatians 5 that says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. That's a very profound statement, but here it makes a connection with faith and love. It's basically saying that love is the final expression of faith. And it's because we have faith in God, who is love, that we are able to love. And so we broke this radio segment down into these three things, faith, hope, and love. And so the first segment will deal with faith as lifestyle. Right, and so what is faith, and why is it necessary?
I thought faith is just something that is when you step into a church on Easter and Christmas, that's where faith is, behind those doors, those red-painted doors, and the stone walls with the stained glass windows, you know. Isn't that where faith is? It's just stuck in that building there. And you get some when you go there on Easter and Christmas. So that's faith as a lifestyle, yeah. Like, how do you have faith? You're just a landscaper or a, you know, a gardener whatever you're doing, a nurse, and, you know, you're a housewife, you're a radio producer, or, you know, faith as a lifestyle isn't something that most people really think about. They think about it as it's something over there, kind of mm-hmm. like God's kind of like the cherry on top over there that we mm-hmm. we tap into when we have time.
Well, faith is actually a belief, and it's actually your conviction about things that are seen and things that are not seen. In fact, it's not seen in a building. I think we both, Evelyn, you and I, love cathedrals and love those tall stained glass windows and the pipe organ that awe and worship. That's not the kind of faith we're talking about. We're actually talking about real faith that is active in everyday life because of what we believe.
It motivates us. It's kind of like the generator that our lives run on when the power goes out.
Yeah.
When our own power goes out.
So what is the definition of faith? Actually, we're not even looking at the dictionary for this because the Bible has a concise definition that really sums it up beautifully. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." So you see, faith actually brings assurance into your life that what you're hoping for, even though you can't see it, it will come about. And that this show is on marriage, but this definitely applies to your own personal salvation and your relationship with God, that even though you don't see God, you love him if you have a relationship with him, and he loves you, and he'll always be there, and you have hope for a future, right?
How do you get to that point if you're not there?
Well, you got to start with your relationship with God and seek God.
You did that once, didn't you?
I did.
In college, I think. And it was music that kind of brought you to your knees, right?
Yeah, I had a friend in college who was going to the college that I went to, and we sat next to each other on the train.
In Philly.
Yeah, in Philadelphia. So he showed a lot of interest in me and wanted to know what I thought of the book I was reading at the time, which was the Gilgamesh and Old Testament parables. And I thought, well, that's strange. Why would he want to know about that book?
Everybody was reading that in college in those days.
Yeah. He came around to really show me that faith doesn't have to do with religion. It has to do with a relationship. He gradually revealed what was in the Bible to me, and that faith in Christ is the only thing that can assure your salvation. And, of course, I had to ponder that for a little while, but before I actually accepted it.
Although you were kind of on wobbly ground in college, so you were kind of...
I was searching, yeah.
Searching.
God gave me a few profound dreams that I was certain was from him. I won't go into them, but they put me on a search. But I'll tell you one thing that was spoken to me in the dream, and I really felt that it was spoken by God, and that was, if you do my will, I will wrest you from the hands of Satan. Rest, meaning W-R-E-S-T. I will take you away from the hands of Satan. That really shook me to the core after that dream happened and what I went through in it. But then I was on a major search for, okay, what is God's will? How do I do God's will? Paul Clowney, who was my friend in college, showed me what God's will was in the scripture, to confess your sins to Christ and believe in him for your salvation, and to start living the Christian life as he commands you to.
Which is the faith lifestyle that we run on, really. And it's like kind of fuel for your vehicle. You know, you can try all different ways to get down the road of life and of marriage, right? Mm-hmm. We have all kinds of books and tips and human ideas, but that's one thing our Music of Marriage focuses on, is that the divine melody that we talk about in our book too is what leads us, and all everything kind of falls into place. God is the really the composer of what marriage is. So we do hope that you'll check out the book, How to Make Your Marriage Sing, at themusicofmarriage.com.
It's also on Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Faith, hope, and love, the three greatest aspects of the Christian life.
The real love triangle, because faith and hope support love.
Yeah.
Which is the pinnacle. And, of course, in marriage, the idea is to try to get a little love and try to keep it and try to keep it growing and then keep it strong enough so that when life and storms of life batter you, you still have that rock that your love is built on, that faith and that hope, right?
Yes. There was an interesting commentary on that Hebrews 11 passage about faith that said, only faith, as it receives the promises of God, can see the future, because faith is the means by which the believer lays hold of Christ and the blessings that he brings. The assurance of future renewal is made concrete when an individual believes.
Yeah. Yeah, faith gives you the assurance of the future. That's the thing about faith. It's very tricky and mysterious. It really takes some kind of a special effort to exercise faith when it appears.
Mm-hmm.
Once we were told, sadly, by a church leader about a marriage that was struggling, frankly, I see no hope for the situation. And that just was like a sword in my heart. I thought, are you kidding me? You are a leader in the church and in the counseling community, and you are saying that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not encouraging, and that's not God's message. That's not God's love language. God's love language is you have mm-hmm. faith when things look hopeless. Faith isn't for when everything's going great,
right?
We don't need it if everything's going
just
great.
Like love isn't for when everything is going right and people are nice to you and your spouse is loving toward you. It's kicks into action when things aren't going so well. How do you handle it?
Right, because if we were perfect, if everybody was perfect in their marriage like Bob and I were, they wouldn't even need this lesson.
Right.
Right, Daryl? I'm just joking.
At least that's what we thought when we were first married.
For a few days.
That's why God has a sense of humor and created the institution of marriage, because he straightens us out pretty quick on the perfection
reality
continuum.
Bites. But it's a true fact. We don't need faith when everything's going right, when we're all loving, we have it. But it's for those times when it appears like that there's no hope.
See, it's not just a thing that should inspire us or just a nice thought either, because Scripture is a double-edged sword. And so while it encourages us with something as wonderful as faith, you also have Isaiah 9 saying, if you are not firm in your faith, you will not be firm at all. So faith is an all-or-nothing proposition, see. If you do not have faith, it can't do anything for you, and you're on your own, essentially. So, and even in Matthew 21, Jesus is saying that whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. So there's...
You should really try it because it's a lot of extraordinary, quote-unquote, impossible things that I've prayed for have happened through because of prayer. I'm like, well, I might as well just pray. And sometimes that's a much better tactic to use in your marriage than trying to persuade your spouse of something. Just pray and let God persuade them. There have mm-hmm. been times when, you know, I really wanted Bob to change his mind about something that we had differing opinions on, and I couldn't convince him. And so I would just pray that God would convince him. And it was, like, amazing, because mm-hmm. every time I would get my way. I mean, God would, you know, and I mean, that's sort of a silly exaggeration, there was a marriage that was a sad husband left, and in leaving, he said, "This is permanent." And as soon as I heard those words, I said to myself, "Not so fast, buddy. I'm going to be praying." And I rattled the gates of heaven. I mean, I was like ferocious in prayer. And lo and behold, his heart softened and everything is back on track. And impossible situations. And even over the weekend, my dad was rushed with chest pains to the hospital. And then they even, he's 90, and they airlifted him to save his life to a specialty heart place. And in the afternoon, I'm working on him to put a pacemaker, and the doctor said he probably doesn't have an hour. Well, we were praying, and friends were praying like mad. And an hour later, everything was different. We were crying. He was dying. This couldn't be. You know, whatever. And then everything changed. And as of this morning, they're just amazed at the 180-degree opposite. But I prayed that God would even make the doctors amazed at how well he's doing. And that's exactly what the doctor said after yesterday. He said, "I'm just thrilled. I can't believe this." So no matter what your roadblock is or disappointment, maybe the bottom's falling out of your marriage, it seems, there's always that solid rock underneath of Christ to stand on. So put your faith in him and ask him, because he does actually promise in many, many places. Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, it just takes a little bit of faith. Didn't that song was "Have a Little Faith"?
Yep.
Right? Because that's literally what Jesus said. You only need a little, and it takes a lot for us to muster that up when things look so pathetically dysfunctional, as they like to say.
And that's little as opposed to small. You know, if your faith is small, well, then that's a different story. But if it's just a little bit, it's like, if that's all you can muster up is a little bit, but it's concretely there, you've got a lot of power in your hands, really, because God will hand you on a silver platter things you'd never expect.
And we experienced that a lot in our marriage, even in finances. You know, it might not just be your relationship, it might be your financial situation is so whacked out. And I mean, and we've been there, and honestly, the things and the miracles that God does will blow your mind if you tap into that, and that will give you fuel to get to the next stop. And
but also give you many rewards, like inner peace, you know, confidence, assurance in your relationship, stability even in the storms, and even prosperity. You know, a sense of personal well-being. You know, based on that assurance, Debbie always said, "My riches are not in the bank." And it gives you purpose. You know, you start seeing all of life as a part of a great piece of artwork, really, a plan and a beauty.
Also, you do inspire others when you go through hard times and you come out because of your faith and your hope. You come out preserving that love, and that becomes a legacy that gets passed on. So we kind of wanted to hit on hope as a lifestyle as well, and what that is and why it's necessary for supporting love.
You know, healthy marriages stay healthy because they understand both the cyclical and changing nature of marriage.
I think you mean healthy marriages, they have hope because they understand that in marriage things change, but there's also the permanent. It cycles through.
Well,
and you
yes,
have to filter out
exactly.
As you cycle through. You know, it's like the washing machine, you know. Marriage is like it's not just like this bliss situation. It's real life, working together, trying to accomplish things that we feel are important, trying to encourage the other one to bloom with their gifts and to encourage them in their gifts. You know, encourage your wife if she's great at decorating or at, you know, being compassionate and helping people, whatever it is. Encourage your husband. These are some of the ways that we we bring hope to each other in marriage, too, is when we give encouragement. You know, we often just take each other for granted in day-to-day life in marriage and don't see the importance of words of encouragement to each other. Because I know for me, you know, myself is in the way. Am I happy? Am I in a good mood? Am I going to get what I want out of this day? Is my husband going to finish that project? And vice versa, for a husband, it can be, you know, encouragement in different ways. So
that's another aspect of hope, by the way. Sorry for interrupting.
Go ahead.
There's a proverb that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so if your wife has expectations of what she wants you to do around the house or whatever it is, or going out on a date and stopping your busy life for a little while, or doing a getaway, a weekend getaway, a date should be just like a weekly thing or more, a getaway, you know. But if you keep putting it off and off and off, it kind of like it's hope deferred, it's put into the future, and so it shows that your interest is not really there. So you lose a little bit of affection in that state, you know, where hope is deferred.
You kind of have to be a little organized and make the effort to think, what are the areas that discourage my spouse? You know, what are the things I do? And I know the things I do, I think we all can figure that out pretty quickly. Yeah. And then if we say, you know, let's try to adjust that so that there's more encouraging and less, maybe procrastination is a word too, you know. That's why we end up hearing couples say, he never does this and you never do that. Maybe it's because we never do. We never get around to doing the things, some things that we should, quickly enough, because we just want to do what we want to do. We're lazy. We're whatever we are, putting our own interests first. And I know, I mean, it can be really mundane, everyday things like, you know, hey, I need these clothes washed for work, or, you know, I'd like to have this in my lunch, or I don't know, whatever it is. We all know how to make the music harmonize better. You know, those sour notes in marriage, in the music of marriage, can be eliminated and replaced with sweet. And they really, everything does change. I mean, you try just doing one small act. You see those bumper stickers, one small act of kindness.
Yes,
I thought of an acronym yesterday, too, for the word talk. Mm-hmm. Try a little kindness.
There you go.
Talking with, you know, using
with kindness.
Using encouraging words to do that.
Yes.
Just to say thank you for your work today, you know, and recognize the labor that your spouse does, whatever it is. There are many more things I know that I could do than I actually do.
Yeah, and that's how, you know, love impacts other things like hope in marriage. And really, I mean, it's really the gateway to reconciliation when things are going bad and when you think things will never change. But also, it's what God expects us to do on a daily basis. And there are rewards, like for faith. Talked about rewards. There's rewards for hope in marriage. What are they? There's possibilities. With man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. That's a reward. There's permanence. God designed marriage to last, so, which is why he commands us not to break the marriage bond. And if we live in the light of his purpose for our marriage, we will not break that bond. And it helps us to be proactive, which is the third reward, really. And you become proactive when you have hope. The dictionary actually gives us a little insight into that when it says that hope is creating or controlling a situation by causing something to happen rather than responding to it after it has happened. So be proactive in identifying and preventing potential problems. In other words, hope is something not just kind of way out there, but it's something that helps you to be proactive in preventing bad things from happening and believing that good things will happen. And good things will happen if you act as if they will happen.
Remember that saying, what goes around comes around. It's not exactly a Bible verse, but I think of that with myself. Okay, if you start the ball with something kind with your spouse, you know, mm-hmm. something nice or thoughtful or just thankful, rather than, mm-hmm. you know, that negative thing that you might think of doing, or that thing, you know, I'm not going to do that after he treated me like that. But do something kind, then inevitably it's like a scientific thing. It just, that's what comes around.
It'll come around, yes.
Right.
Yes. So we have a song from our album, Ballads for a Broken World, which has more songs on it than our website, actually, because we focus on the love songs on the website. But this song has some other spiritual songs and life songs, love life. And you can get it on Spotify, on Apple Music, iTunes, etc. This song is called I'll Be There.
Distant land.
are just some things, yeah, you just have to know. Whoa, these are just some things, you just have to know.
Welcome back to The Music of Marriage with Bob and Evie, and we're here to encourage you on the topic of marriage, and our website, themusicofmarriage.com. If you go there, we have a book, How to Make Your Marriage Sing, with principles, biblically based principles that really do help keep the music playing. They don't help. They actually are the power that restores when things get a little out of tune. And being musicians, we like to use musical terminology, and also we actually have some songs on there, as Bob mentioned before. And Ballads for a Broken World album is somewhere on in space there to tap into.
Apple Music and Spotify.
Right. So sort of the encore message today, after a series on God's love language, is just talking about this love triangle that is the pinnacle is love, and the bottom two corner bases that hold that up are hope and faith. Now, when you lose hope for your marriage and you got no faith no more, then the love's just going to down, and you don't have a triangle anymore. You have just a flat line. Mm-hmm. That's not good for a marriage. So we're trying to encourage you about faith and hope and its practicality, some ideas how to work it out. I mentioned earlier about a lot of people think faith and hope, well, particularly faith, is something, abstract concept, a way you feel when you go to church sometimes. It's in that building. And that's the beautiful thing about God, is he's totally all there at all times, totally relatable in all situations. I mean, that's how Jesus lived his life. I was thinking as I was watching the Queen's fanfare over the last week, and particularly yesterday, unbelievable fanfare for her. And I thought, I mean, hours and hours, and everyone marching in step and move to the right and put the coffin here and in the flower. I mean, I don't know. It's like they rehearsed for 10 years for this thing, but I know they didn't. But, well, some were rehearsing it before dawn, I heard. But anyway, I saw all that, and I thought, that's very interesting, because the Queen was a fabulous lady, and, you know, she was a Christian with conviction, which is cool, and she was a humble person. And she worked hard. She was a great example and inspiration. And then I compared that to Christ. I'm talking about how he's so involved in our everyday life and helps us. And he's not just behind the church walls there when you show up once in a while out of desperation or obligation. He's for right now. He's for when your tire went flat in your car or in your marriage. You had a blowout or a blow up, whatever. And I know you've probably heard and read many stories of the miracles, and when people call out to God for help, he really does help. But he came so differently. I'm comparing to the Queen again. It came in a little shack of a barnish situation out in the hills somewhere. He did not have all that fanfare. This is God who created the Queen, who created mm-hmm. you and me. Did he have fanfare? Mm-hmm. When he was buried, was there much fanfare? Not really. But yet we adore and idolize people on this planet, right? And we have to bring back into alignment, get the notes, get the melody right that we're supposed to be following. That divine melody is not just something in the church or between the pages of that leather book over there with the gold type that says Holy Bible on it. It's just very real and very practical and very useful, much as the directions to your washing machine are useful, right? Because or learning how, maybe you're a music student, learning how to write music. How do you compose a song, you know? whatever it is in life, God is very practical and everyday real. So adoring what the Queen did and being celebratory and all that is wonderful. But I often think of the contrast of how God himself, Jesus, was so humble, and yet he's holding this whole thing together, and he's got the restorative power. He busted out of the grave. He didn't get lowered into a vault to stay forever in the annals of history. There's no place to go visit. This is where Jesus Christ laid. He was a great teacher. Mm-hmm. We have many accounts of the great things that he did, and he will be sorely missed in memory of Jesus Christ. We don't have that. Why? Because, you know, he came as human, but being God and human, he showed us that he has the power to conquer death, even the death of the music in your marriage. He can mm-hmm. restore that and, like any situation, bring it back to life.
And one word comes to mind when I think of the Passion of Christ, and that is sacrifice. No greater thing does a man have than to lay down his life for another. Jesus himself said that and actually lived it, and that's how he died.
And that's why we have hope. And so if we act that way with one another, even our worst enemies, because Jesus said, unfortunately, he said we have to love our enemies. Why did he have to say that? No, because he loved his enemies, who really, when we go our own way, in that sense, we are. But I'm mm-hmm. telling you, it's amazing what happens. It's almost like you feel completely trapped and walled off from a person. There's no way with that person things could ever be nice. You know, maybe mm-hmm. it's your spouse, maybe. So that's what we're talking about, marriage. So that's yeah. really a lie, because Jesus busted out of the tomb. He didn't stay in a vault in a cathedral. He busted out of a dirt cave with a big rock in front of it. That was just to show us, you know, boys and girls, I'm really in charge and at large, but I also care about how you feel right now. I care about the state of your marriage. I care about the state of your relationships. I care about your peace and your happiness. So that's really yeah. helped us a lot in our marriage, and I know for many people it has as well, to know that we have that hope, that restorative resurrection power. And actually the Queen did refer to that. I was hearing some of the commentators say how she really believed in the resurrection and often talked in her life about that. So our marriages and music of our marriage can and will be resurrected the minute we put our faith and hope in him.
Yes, and that is part of the reason Christ came, really. And if Sinclair Ferguson said, if we lose sight of why Christ came, we'll probably never love him properly. Perhaps we'll never be able to love anyone properly. Until we have tasted his love, we can never fully appreciate why love makes us willing to sacrifice. If we're going to live lovingly as well as sacrificially, we must look to the one who did both. That's a true statement. And so Christ's purpose for coming was redemptive. When Christ comes again, it'll be a different story. So while we have time, there is time for redemption, both personally and in our marriage relationships.
So we can have positive vibes in our marriage. I learned a word, placatory. It was actually about the Queen in an article about her, and I looked it up. Being placatory is doing things or saying things in a way that's intended to make someone less hostile. If your spouse is hostile toward you or someone else, think about how to be placatory and do or say things that would make them less hostile, to pave that the way. Don't be combative with them. That's saying to Bob, when you're combative, it's so obvious that you make yourself the target. So make the truth the target. Get your mind off, wait a minute, this is not just about me. Let's find what is true and let's where the track is and get on that.
Speaking of not about me, it is about also a legacy that you leave. What is the legacy of your life, especially if you have kids? How is that going to impact their lives, their marriages, and their generation? So let your light shine so that God will be glorified for generations to come. And that'll be your platinum record, essentially. Your legacy.
Yeah, I mean, the Queen has a record, and they've talked all about it. And we all have a record, right, that we're playing in our marriage, in our personal life.
Mm-hmm.
And that influences people for good or for bad, including ourselves. So we just want to encourage you to keep the faith and have hope, because then you'll have love.
Yes.